Let it just let God's word get into your heart, give you a chance to find the scripture, Psalms 119, then we'll make our confession together. Psalms 119. Somewhere probably right around the middle of your Bible, in that area there. Thank God for the praises. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. Thank God for just his many blessings every day. You know, I heard on Friday, actually my daughter sent a text and asked me if I had heard that an evangelist by the name of Luis Palau died. And I said, no, I hadn't heard that. And I was actually out in the car and I got back in the car and was heading back, coming back to the house actually. And I was listening to a Christian station called K-Love, and they actually announced it and played. I've listened to him over the years. That brother's such a blessing. I think they made some kind of a film or documentary on his life. And I can still hear his voice with that. I love his accent, just his heart. Oh, my goodness, what a blessing. God used him to share the gospel with 30 million people in the 50 years he ministered. And so he went home to be with the Lord. But even after he found out he had cancer, they played a little clip of him on the radio Friday morning, and he was saying that just live one day at a time. And he said, every day you wake up, it's a blessing. You have an opportunity for victory. And he was just praising the Lord, even in, you know, his body, not maybe at 100% capacity, but his heart was, his spirit was. And man, what a blessing, what an encouragement, and just a testimony for us. Just continue walk with the Lord. Whether we share the gospel 30 million or 30, that's not the issue. Is we're faithful what the Lord would have us to do. And we can all hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. So just, you know, thank God for the opportunity and blessing of being able to know God and to serve him here in this life and to be with him forever. If you found Psalms 119, we say, I got it. All right, let's join together as we make our confession. We have the words on the screen. Those of you streaming, even if you're home by yourself and no one else can hear you, you hear yourself. And please, I invite you to join us, and let's make our confession together. Our confidence is not in us. It's in God and in his word to speak to us today, all right? So would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. Before I read these verses in Psalms 119, right there at the first part, I'm just curious, how many of us here this morning, I'm not going to ask any details, all right, but how many of us this morning have ever, let's say, hidden something in your car? Maybe you're out in a parking lot or somewhere and you've hidden something under the seat. I'm not going to ask you what, in the glove compartment, in the trunk, under your coat, under your whatever, you've hidden something in your home. You know, how many of us have ever done anything along that line? Would you hold your hands up? Pretty much most of us, all of us. All right, thank you. All right, but let me ask you this. Why did you hide it? Don't tell me it's illegal. I don't want to know. To keep it out of sight, but why? You didn't want somebody to steal it? Why? Was it valuable? Ah, okay. You hid it because it was valuable to you, right? Or we'll just say it's valuable. Probably all of us have done that. We've hid something somewhere. Well, that's the idea that this psalmist writes here. I'll start in verse 9, but as we get to verse 11, just notice how it's worded, okay? Psalms 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And he answers, by taking heed or doing according to your word, doing what the word of God tells us. Then verse 10, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Not half-hearted, you know, maybe a little bit at church. No, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And then this is the, in that Hebrew word, verse 11 there, in English it says, your word I have hidden in my heart. But the idea is the same. The psalmist was saying, I've hidden your word in my heart because it's valuable to me. He says, with your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Just a real simple, quick definition. That Hebrew word here actually means to store up or to treasure or cherish. So he's writing and he says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I've cherished your word in my heart, or I've treasured your word in my heart. In fact, if we have it on the screen, let me read that verse to you from a translation. It's the Christian Standard Bible. It says it like this. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. So here's the message just taken from the psalmist's words this morning, because, and again, between you and the Lord right now, okay, I just want to ask you to think about this. The psalmist said, I treasure your word in my heart. And I'll ask you this morning, between you and the Lord, will you do the same? If you're watching, you're listening, will you treasure God's word in your heart? And if you do, let's make that confession together. I treasure your word in my heart. That's the message this morning. I treasure your word in my heart. Would you say it out loud with me? I treasure your word in my heart. So I treasure your word in my heart. If you weren't here last week I shared a message, again, basically on the scripture, and just simply, we talked about how God, in the scripture, the Bible says that Jesus is the truth, and Jesus said God's word is truth. So truth can be the Son, and is the Son, and is also the Scripture. And last week, the message was simply to love truth, learn truth, and live truth. Love truth, learn truth, live truth. We don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. I think it's a literary masterpiece. This, in the original language, in fact, in your Bibles, you may see, like, right above verse 9, do you see a word, B-E-T-H? Some of your Bibles have that. That's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So whoever wrote this psalm, they took the entire Hebrew alphabet and wrote every letter. Like, for example, in that first letter, we would say A in our alphabet. Imagine you writing 8 verses extolling the virtues of God's word, and they all have to start with the letter A. Then when you're done with those, do the same thing with the letter B, and then C, and all through the whole alphabet, and that's what Psalms 119 is. But there's 22 letters in the Hebrew, but that's what it is. And some believe Ezra may have written this psalm. Again, we're not 100% sure, but he was a good candidate. I want to read you one verse about Ezra. It's found in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, if you want to write it down. We stay right here in Psalms 119 this morning. But Ezra 7:10 says that God had granted Ezra favor, and it says it like this, the good hand of God was upon him. And this is what it says. We'll put the words on the screen. The ESV says, for Ezra had set his heart. Would you say set his heart? He had set his heart to study. So he was going to learn the law of the Lord, and to do it, he was going to live it, and then to share it, to teach statutes and rules in Israel. So he had a heart for God. He had a heart for God's word. He loved God's word. He learned it, and he lived it. And that's, again, he may have written this psalm. But whoever it is, the Holy Spirit is the one who really inspired it. And when we treasure God's word, when we store it up and we cherish it in our heart, it shows that God is important to us and we value what he says. Let me say that again. When we treasure or cherish and store up God's word in our heart, it shows that he is important to us and we value what he says. Just think about this. Think about what we would know about God if there was no scripture. If there was no book we call the Bible, just think of what we would not know about God and His will. Because we may look at creation, and I believe people do this, and we can say, well, there must be something out there. Maybe He's pretty powerful. This storm scares me or whatever. And we can see that creation may reveal a creator, but we wouldn't know His holiness. We wouldn't know His power. We wouldn't know His love. We wouldn't know His salvation. And we wouldn't know His will for our lives without His word. So it's important. I treasure Your word in my heart. And I pray that'll be our attitude and our whole perspective today. And just as we go into this, I want to share just three blessings there. I believe there are many, certainly. But if you want to write them down, three blessings and three benefits of treasuring God's word in our heart. And please think about this. You don't need to say anything out loud. It's between you and God. But just as we prepare for this, what value do you place on God's word? What priority? Just think back over, say, the last, maybe week or so. And not talking about, taking time off, cheating, your job. You got to focus on your work, do your school, and so forth. But when we have the freedom for our mind to go wherever it may be, again, there's nothing wrong, certainly, with sports and entertainment and, social media and, be aware of the news and all this going on. But what priority does God's word have in your priority list there? And what value, what attention do you give it? To take a few moments and just try to be undistracted and say, Lord, speak to me. Even as the psalmist wrote later on in this psalm, open my eyes to behold wondrous things from your law. Lord, speak to me. I'm giving you my attention. Help me, Lord. Speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need your word. If you want to write this scripture reference down in Luke chapter 2, remember on the night Jesus was born, we talked about how, if you're familiar with the account, that shepherds were keeping their flocks out in the field that night. And all of a sudden, heaven opened and angels announced that the Savior was. He said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ or Messiah the Lord. Savior means He came to rescue us from sin. He came to rescue us from death. Let me ask you to do something. Would you, if you have a bulletin, if you're already there on the back, right there at the bottom where it says, would you like to know God and be forgiven? I want to repeat this so people who are listening can hear. But would you read this with me? It's bad news, good news, and my response. I want to make sure we don't overlook the bad news. Gospel means good news, but I believe we cheapen the good news if we aren't aware of the bad news, all right? So would you read this with me where it says our sin right there? Would you read it with me together? Ready? Our sin separates us from God and places us under condemnation. That scripture references for that, again, if you're listening, John 3:18-36. So Jesus came to rescue us from sin and death. He came to rescue us from the penalty of hell, which would be the price for just going on without Him. But the good news, would you read that with me now? God loved us so much, He punished Jesus on the cross for our sins. Jesus arose from the dead, defeating sin, Satan, and death. In those verses, John 3:16-17. And then one more. Does that mean, well, all roads lead to heaven and we all live happily ever after? No, there is. God does not force Himself on us. We can receive Him or we can reject Him. So would you read my response there as well? Believe in Jesus and receive Him as your Lord. Call on Him to save you. And that's John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. On that night, when the angels announced, it says in Luke chapter 2, that after the angels vanished away, they looked at each other like, let's make haste. Let's hurry up and go see what this is they were telling us about. And sure enough, they go and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And the Bible says they made widely known what the angels told them. And everyone who heard marveled. But this is what it says about Mary. It says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. And I want to, again, read it from that same Christian Standard Bible. If we can just put on the screen. It says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. See that? So what she heard was valuable to her, so she was treasuring it up in her heart, and she was thinking about it and meditating on it. She confessed it. We were talking, you heard a testimony, if you were here in the service, about confessing God's word. In Acts chapter 4, I think it's verse 15, Acts 4:15. It says there was a group of people there, and it says they conferred together. It's the same word that's translated meditating right here. It means they conferred. I love getting into scripture for myself, but I love talking to others about it. I love sharing and having fellowship in the word. Yesterday we had our breakfast, and we always go into the word for a few moments, but yesterday we took an unexpected turn, but we did kind of an impromptu Bible study on demons and how Lucifer became Satan and angels and so forth. And so we had that, but it was a blessing to have that time of fellowship together. And so that's what Mary treasured it. So she was thinking on it, and she was confessing it. She was speaking it. And that's the same thing that we can do. I see some of you are a little bit maybe chilly. I don't want to warm you up too much. Some of you, I told you one day I'm going to get you all on sides, cold side and the hot side. I've asked several of you this morning when you came in, hey, you're comfortable? I'm the wrong one to ask. I stay hot. I said, okay. I appreciate your honesty. I don't want you being uncomfortable, at least from that. but just allow God to speak to your heart. And I believe, you know, it says of Mary, when they went to dedicate Jesus at the temple, there was an older man there in Luke chapter 2, and he took the baby up in his arms, and he spoke a prophecy over Jesus, because God had revealed to him, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. And the Lord revealed to him when Jesus was brought in, that was him. And this is what he knew, something that was going to take place in Mary, and he told Mary, a sword is going to pierce your own soul. And I believe, this is me now, but I really believe those words that she treasured in her heart and she meditated on and she confessed helped her through those times as Jesus grew and all that she saw him endure, especially there in the Passion. I believe they helped her as she felt that sword piercing her very soul. That's the blessing of God's word, is that we can treasure it in our heart, and God's word will help us in our trying times too. So let me give you these three things real quick. Psalms 119, number one, here's the first one, victory. The first blessing when we treasure God's word in our heart is that we can have victory. We read that verse there, verse 9, Psalms 119, verse 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Brothers and sisters, we never arrive in this life. We are all tempted to sin, and no one is above falling. Let's remember that, please. The Bible says, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Because that sure enough will mess us up if we think we're proud, we've arrived, we're better than others. No, we all need God's grace. And it's not just that we all need it, we need it all the time. So we need the victory. We're all tempted to sin. But Jesus showed us how to have victory. Remember when he was tempted? The Bible says that when the devil came to him, tempting him with every temptation, because Jesus had treasured the scripture in his heart, he had it in his heart, and he was ready when the temptation came. So when the temptation came, he spoke a relevant word dealing with that temptation out of his mouth by saying, it is written. Lord, help us to do the same. Help me to do the same. When temptation comes, that I could have your word in my heart and I could speak a word, that's where it becomes a spiritual sword. This is a book, but it becomes a spiritual sword when we get it in our heart and speak it by faith out of our mouth. That's when it has that spiritual power. And so Jesus walked in that victory, and he spoke that word, not just for himself, but he showed us a pattern of how we can walk in victory as well. Now, I want to just ask you to think about this. Again, just in your own heart and mind, think about a temptation that's something you struggle with right now. Whatever it is, we all have them, all right? You're not alone. Might be maybe some worry or anxiety or fear. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just some compulsive behavior. Maybe it's, I don't know, fill in the blank. But whatever it is, if you just begin to think and ask the Lord to guide you to get a scripture, get a get a relevant scripture that you can start to dwell on. Get that thing in your mind, treasure it in your heart, start speaking it and confessing it so that it's abiding in you. The Bible says this in 1 John 2:14. We'll put it on the screen if you want to write it down. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that I've written to you, fathers, this is spiritually now, speaking to those who are older in the faith, because you've known him who is from the beginning, and I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. See, as we treasure God's word in our heart, we think on it and we confess it and speak it, it builds up our faith until it's abiding in us, and that word can lead us to victory. Ultimately, it's about drawing us to the Lord. Remember, please, if I were to ask you, what is the word of God? All right, what would you say? You can go ahead and answer if you want, but if you're not scared. What is the word of God? I'm not trying to trick you. It is truth, but like I'm specifically asking, what is? All right, the Son is the word of God. Anything else? And the scripture is the word of God, right? So I treasure your word in my heart. I treasure the presence of the Son in my heart, and I treasure his written, inspired word in my heart, okay? And that leads us into victory. I know so many times it's human nature. We're going through a struggle. We're going through temptation. I fell again. I messed up. We can be tempted to quit. All the discouragement. We want to get out of trouble. We want to get out of opposition. It's human nature. I love something Joyce Meyer wrote in a devotion. I'm reading through one of hers now as well on giving thanks every day. Let me read you what she says about victory. She says, victory is not in methods. It is in God. If we are to live victoriously, please hear this, we are going to have to look beyond ways to eliminate our problems and find the Lord in the midst of our problems. Can somebody say amen? It's not a way out, it's a way to the Lord. Can the Lord give us victory right in the middle of all the opposition, struggle, problem, everything that we have? Absolutely. So the first blessing is that we can have victory in our heart, in our lives, if we treasure God's word in our heart. Number two, we can have strength. So when we treasure God's word in our heart, we can have victory. Maybe I'll fall at times, but you know what? I'm not going to let that turn me from God. I'm going to turn to him even more, drawing me to the Lord. I need him. Problems, yes, draw me to the Lord. Weakness, yes, draw me to the Lord. I fail, yes, draw me to the Lord. I'm coming back to the word. I'm treasuring him. I'm treasuring his word, his truth in my heart. Psalms 119, verse 28 says this, my soul melts from heaviness. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt just weak on the inside? My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. God's word is like spiritual food. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 when he was tempted? He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And brothers and sisters, if we want to be strong spiritually, we have to get the word of God in. We have to feed our faith in God. We have to eat spiritually. Just like if we want physical health and strength, we must take in good nutrition into our bodies. It's the same comparison. Jesus made the comparison of physical food to the word of God. If we want to be strong spiritually, we've got to get the word in us. We've got to feed our faith in God. So again, I'll just ask you to think about this. What did you eat last week spiritually? What did you eat to feed your faith? What did you meditate on? What did you focus on and get in your heart? What did you treasure that would build up your faith in the Lord? I want to read you a few verses. I'll come back and we'll close with Psalms 119. Let me read you an account here of Elijah in 1 Kings 19, if you want to write it down. 1 Kings chapter 19. Many of you are familiar with the account. If not, Elijah had seen a great victory, defeating 850 false prophets there. God worked a miracle. Think about this a minute. There was a drought for 3.5 years. And this man wanted a showdown with false prophets. And he said, y'all go ahead and build it. Let's build two altars here and put a sacrifice on yours. I'll put one on mine. You call on your gods. You call on, you know, and see if they do anything. And I'll call on my God, and the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And they was like, yeah, that's good. All morning long, they were calling on their false gods. They even got to a point, they were cutting themselves, blood gushing out of them, trying to get their God to answer. Nothing. Then Elijah began to mock them. Can you imagine that? He said, hey, cry a little louder. Maybe he's asleep. You got to wake him up. Or maybe he's attending to his needs. You better. And then he said, let's repair this altar of the Lord right here. And then, as they haven't had rain in 3.5 years, he told them to get what little water they had and pour it on the sacrifice. And they poured it on his 3 times. And then he called on the name of the Lord. And not only did God send fire to consume the sacrifice, the sacrifice was consumed, and all the water around the sacrifice, around the altar, was dried up. And the people, the false prophets, fell on their face, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Afterward, the queen, when she heard about it, because she promoted those false gods, she said, if he's alive by this time tomorrow, may the gods kill me. He heard that, and he ran for his life and hid in a cave. And he was really, talk about depressed. He was maybe, well, let's read his words here. This is what it says in 1 Kings, now chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed. Notice what this man, he's a godly person now, but he prayed, and he said, Lord, it's enough. He just prayed that he might die. And he said, Lord, it's enough. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Wow. He was deeply depressed, wasn't he? That is not a put down. He was human. He's a man of God. But brothers and sisters, we're still flesh and blood too. And he says in verse 5, as he lay down, he slept under a broom tree, that suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a bread that was baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, and he laid down again. Now, there's a little wisdom for us, I believe, here, because sometimes we can wear ourselves out physically, and our bodies just need rest. And the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. Get something good to eat and rest. And if you need to go to the doctor and take medicine, you're not under condemnation. Do what he says, do what she says. But I want to talk about the spiritual part here right now too. Because he goes on and he says in verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came back a second time. He touched him and he said, arise and eat. Notice twice he said that, because the journey is too great for you. And then verse 8, so he arose, he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food. Notice, 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. I just see such a picture there. Yes, that was something physical at the time, but can't you relate that spiritually? Isn't Jesus the bread of life? Doesn't he give living water? And when we're drained and just tired, spiritual, whatever it may be, anxious, fearful, I believe we can hear the word of God saying to us, arise and eat, and make that time for fellowship, fellowship with the word of God, the Son, through worship and prayer, like we heard the testimony. Here's a brother who just had surgery, and from either medicine or who knows what, he's shaken uncontrollably for an hour and a half. But in the presence of the Lord, in prayer and in worship, God ministered and brought healing and brought comfort and peace and strength. And so the Lord knows we need that spiritual strength of fellowship with him and fellowship in his word. So arise and eat. Have that time of fellowship with him. Have that time in the word and get that scripture in your heart, in your mind. I treasure your word in my heart. Will you say it with me? I treasure your word in my heart. And then we can go in the spiritual strength of the Lord. So there's a blessing of victory. There's a blessing of strength. And then finally, there's a blessing of peace. And again, these certainly aren't the only blessings, but I believe they're very practical and relevant that we can all relate to somewhere. Psalms 119, would you turn toward the end of that Psalms in verse 165? Psalms 119, 165. I treasure your word in my heart. Lord, help us to live this out. Psalms 119, verse 165. The Bible says this. Great shalom, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. That word is also translated offense. That it refers to a stumbling block. So, brothers and sisters, as we treasure God's word in our heart, we love it, we learn it, we seek to live it out, it promotes the peace of God within us. Peace cannot be bought. It is, money can buy some things, but it really can't buy the peace of God. We could have everything this world has to offer and be so troubled we can't even rest. But if we treasure God's word in our heart, we treasure Him, we treasure His truth, it promotes peace. I didn't say we'll never battle anxiety. We will. At least most of us will, I believe, in this life. I was just talking with someone the other day. I don't even remember who it was or where we were, but I was telling them, I said, it seems like, you know, even over the last, say, about year, there's been a almost like a collective amping up of stress in our society. You kind of sense that? Do you feel like it's just a, you know, it's just like taken to a higher level? And it's like, man, you sense it. But we can have God's peace. Not only that, that verse says that when we value God's word in our heart, the Bible says that it can help us to avoid stumbling, for the stumbling block that would trip us up into sin. So it's, again, I treasure your word. He says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Let me close with this, Philippians chapter 4. You can turn, or if you want to write it down, Philippians chapter 4, and I'll read these last few verses. To love God's word, learn it, to live it out, promotes God's peace within us and helps us to avoid the stumbling blocks. This is such a powerful scripture. Can I just ask you to be honest with me today? How many of us, you felt like you've battled at some point, maybe not this morning, but some point you've really battled some type of anxiety or worry or fear, and it was like you could tell, man, it was wanting to just take over, trouble your heart, torment your mind. Have any of us ever had it like to that degree? Any of us, would you raise your hand a moment just to get an idea? Most of us, thank you for your honesty. Lord knows, I'm not putting down anyone who experiences that. I believe we face it as humans. I am saying this, just like for victory and just like for strength, when we're facing and we feel overwhelmed with anxiety and stress and worry, fear, what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to, you know, meditate on it, nurture it, and magnify it, and put ourselves in turmoil even more? Or will we let it draw us to the one who can give us peace? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. He says, I give you my peace. I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And as we begin to just treasure that word in our heart and mind and build our faith up in Him and draw closer to Him, He can give us peace that passes all understanding. I treasure your word in my heart. Notice what He says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. He says, be anxious for nothing. But I'm anxious. Okay. But now what are you going to do with it? All right? Use that anxiety to draw you to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. When you're worried, use that worry to draw you to the Lord in worship. So He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. How much? Everything by prayer and supplication. This is so important. With thanksgiving. See, that thanksgiving is an expression of faith. Not only that we have faith, it strengthens our faith when we give God praise and thanks while we're praying for the answer to come. So with thanksgiving, then He says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren. In fact, would you read this verse out loud with me? There are 8 virtues here God said he wants us to focus on, to dwell on, to meditate on, and to confess. Let's read them out together. Ready? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So if it's not true, if it's not something virtuous, if it's not something of a good report, if it's not pure, I don't need to give it time in my mind. I don't need to give it my attention. I've got to focus my mind, and something that will help us focus is to confess it, speak it, sing it. Let's take advantage of using our mouth. Our mouth can help our mind to focus. So many times, you know, our mouth can get us in trouble. Let's turn around for good and overcome evil with good by confessing what God says to confess and meditate on. In verse 11, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Brothers and sisters, let's believe God and dwell on what he said to dwell on. Let's believe God and do what he said to do, and we can walk in that. We can experience greater victory in our lives. We can experience more of his strength in our heart and lives, and we can experience more of the peace of God. You know, when we are obedient to him, he will use us to be fruitful in life for his glory, not just so I get everything I want. Ultimately, my purpose is to glorify him, to worship and serve him. And if I will do that, it'll be fruitful, and I'll be glad when I look back on my life one day and say, Lord, thank you for your grace being with me every step of the way. I treasure your word in my heart. Will you say that with me? I treasure your word in my heart. Now, just think about this a moment, please, as we close in prayer. Our obedience to God's word is evidence that we believe God's word. Will you believe the word of the Lord today? And will you begin to, just whenever you experience that anxiety, weakness, fear, whatever it may be, failure, please don't let the devil condemn you away from God. Let the truth of God and his love and spirit draw you to God. If you know him, if you don't know him, you can believe in your heart the testimony of Scripture and receive Jesus as your Lord today and enter into eternal life right here, right now, if you'll just simply believe God. Can we stand together as we close in prayer?